invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. As you're turning there, I want to tell you about a man affiliated with one of the YMCAs. As you know, the YMCA is usually crowded with people who've come to get some exercise, perhaps to work out in the weight room, take a swim, a place of exercise and recreation, and can be fun unless you're the one who operates the YMCA. George McCoslin was one of those who once directed a YMCA facility in the Pittsburgh area. And he was having a very, very difficult time. The club membership, the numbers were way down, and they were operating in the red with high debt. And he was feeling the weight of this burden on his own shoulders. He had critical staff problems just to make it worse. People would come to the YMCA to work off their tension, but where would the director go? Well, he didn't go anywhere. And so he worked obsessively, feeling that if he just put in more time, then he could make things turn around. And so he would put in 85 hours a week at his job. And when he'd finally get home, he's too tired to sleep. He was already thinking about the next day and getting an early start. Vacations were few, and when he was away, the YMCA and his problems weighed even more heavily upon his shoulders. A therapist told him that something had better give, or he was headed for a nervous breakdown. That's when George began to think about God. Where did God fit into this unhappy, chaotic picture? Where was God in his struggles? George struggled with worry, among other things, but most definitely with worry. And that's something that we all struggle with at times. And we're going through difficult circumstances, and we're tired, and we ask, where is God in this? And how do I handle it? And we know about worry, that it's useless and it's an unhealthy vice. But I appreciate the words of Corrie ten Boom, a couplet that she used to recite. She said, "Worry is an old man with bended head, carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead." And we often felt that lead on our backs, and we know what worry is all about. But we recognize that it's foolish because it concerns that which isn't. It's barring tomorrow's trouble for today. It has to do with could-bes and what-ifs. And we know how it just makes matters worse when we worry. When we go to the Scriptures and we find that the word worry, such as in Matthew chapter 6, means to be anxious about. At the root of this word is to be divided. It's to have a divided mind. That's the picture that we get. It's a mind torn between the real and the possible, or the immediate and the potential. But really, this idea of worry means to worry anxiously. So anxiety, worry, care are the things associated with this problem. The worrier attempts to live in the future, and that brings two problems. Number one, the future isn't here. Number two, the future isn't his. So what do we do about worry? Jesus says, do not worry. Three times in our passage, Matthew chapter 6, we find, do not worry. Do not worry. Before we get into the text, however, I want to give two disclaimers. Two disclaimers. Number one, don't worry does not mean don't plan. Don't confuse the two. Don't worry does not mean don't plan. King James Version translates this first part of verse 25, take no thought for your life. And so some have supposed that that would mean that you can't have career ambitions, that you shouldn't do financial planning or shouldn't have life insurance or any number of things. Take no thought for your life. But if you look at the whole of Scripture, even Jesus, our Lord, you'll see that Jesus planned. Jesus planned ahead. In fact, he prepared his disciples for the future. He would even say such things as Luke 14:28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" And there's that principle of planning ahead. So don't worry does not mean don't plan. Secondly, don't worry does not mean don't be concerned. There are some things concerning which we should be concerned. A popular song a few years ago and still a popular idea is "Don't worry, be happy." And many times the song suggests that you shouldn't have a care in the world, shouldn't be concerned about anything. Just be happy. Well, I appreciate it on one sense, but on the other hand, there are some legitimate things that we should be concerned about. If you're a parent and are not concerned about your children playing near the street, there's a problem there. We need to be concerned about that and take precaution. If you're not concerned about falling off the roof of a skyscraper when you're walking on the edge, you will soon learn the meaning of that old poster that said gravity. It's not just a good idea, it's the law. There's some things we need to be concerned about and take precaution. But there's a difference between being carefree and careless and careless. I like William Barclay's statement. Jesus is not advocating a shiftless, thriftless, reckless, thoughtless, improvident attitude to life. He is forbidding a careworn, worried fear, which takes all the joy out of life. Realistic concern and restless anxiety are separate matters. There are some things concerning which we need to be concerned, but we shouldn't be characterized by this restless anxiety. What's the difference? Concern focuses on the present, the things at hand, the things that do require our attention. Whereas worry, anxiety, is attached to the future, things beyond our control. So how do we win over worry? This passage is all about this problem of worry. And let's review as to what Jesus tells us about it. Notice that he describes some things, some characteristics of worry. First of all, note in verse 25, he says, "Worry is inane." Inane. Not insane, close, but inane. That word means empty, insubstantial, lacking significance, meaning, or point. Silly is a synonym. It's pointless. Look at what Jesus says, verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" There's some things there's more to life than food, drink, and clothing. Don't worry about these things. And if you look at the whole of this text, you see that Jesus is making the point, God gave us life. He's given us all things to sustain our lives. And if he gave us life, surely we can trust him for the lesser things. Worry is inane. It's pointless. If God gave us life, we can trust him for the things which are necessary to support life. Secondly, worry is irrational. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" I want to point out a couple other passages where Jesus talks about the birds. Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" Two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and yet God knows when just one falls to the ground. Luke's version, Luke 12, verse 6, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" You put those two verses together, it's two for a penny, and buy four and get one free. But in other words, we don't pay very much, or in Jesus' time, they didn't pay very much for a sparrow. But yet God is concerned about each and every one. There's not one that falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. Not one of them is forgotten before Him. He even knows when one of the hairs of our head does likewise, falls to the ground. If He is so meticulous with the smallest, most incidental items, won't He also tend to our deeper concerns? I love this little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Look at the birds, Jesus says. I believe the point is that Jesus is making is not that birds do no work. It has been said that no one works harder than the average sparrow to make a living. But here's the difference. The sparrow doesn't worry. The sparrow doesn't look as man does and see a future that he cannot see. The sparrow doesn't find security in things stored up and accumulated against the future like man does. Look at the birds. God cares for them. Will He not also care for us? Worry is ineffective. Verse 27. "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" That's the New King James Version. And there's two possible meanings here. One is of this stature. How many of us can worry ourselves into growing taller? Not a one of us. The idea here is, in the original language, it has the idea of adding space to your life. So instead of inches, it may refer to time. Which of you, by worrying, can add a day or an hour to your life? The answer, of course, is we can't add a day, an hour, or a moment by worrying. Leslie Thomas wrote, "A man may worry himself to death, but he cannot worry himself into a longer span of life." But on the other hand, how many days and years have been lost in our lives due to this problem of worry? Worry doesn't add, it takes away. Worry divides the mind, David Jeremiah wrote, multiplies misery. It subtracts from our happiness, but it never adds. You see, worry is the most ineffective use of your time. One writer wrote about a man that owned a white mouse and kept him in that cage and had that thing that the mouse would run on, that big wheel in his cage. And the man commented, "It's so fun to watch this little guy. It's as if he wakes up and says, 'Must get on the wheel. Must get on the wheel, must keep running.'" And so that mouse just keeps running and running and running and running. And I don't know who calculated this, but I've read that the average pet mouse that has one of those big wheels in his cage runs 9,000 miles on that wheel. And it gets him nowhere. Just like us. We run and run and run, must keep running, must keep running. I'm concerned, I'm worried, and it gets us nowhere. Worrying doesn't remove sorrow from tomorrow. It robs today of its strength. Worry is ineffective. Next, worry is illogical. Illogical. Look with me, verse 28. "Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So look at the birds, but also look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon, with all of the kingdoms that he conquered, or the peace that prevailed when he was king, extreme prosperity, everything that he could want and more, He withheld nothing from his eyes, he would write in Ecclesiastes. But all that prosperity, all that splendor pales in comparison to a simple flower that may grow in the wild. And the point is, God values you and me more than he values the flowers that grow wild. But look at their splendor, look at the beauty, and look at how God sustains them. Yes, he made the lily and all its beauty, but he also made you and me. And the difference is, we're created in his image. And if God takes care of the flowers, won't he take care of us? Notice in verses 31 and 32, Jesus says worry is irreligious. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. After all these things, the necessities of life, the Gentiles seek. In other words, referring to the pagans, those that don't know God, those that don't believe in God, they're concerned, they're worried about the necessities of life. But you, Jesus says to his followers, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And that should change our whole perspective. Anxious care is unbecoming to a Christian. The Christian who worries doubts God's ability or his willingness to provide for his people. Worry is essentially distrust of God. It's irreligious. But we grapple with it, don't we? So what do we need to do instead? I want to point out two things in verses 33 and 34. Number one, we need to set a system of priorities. Let's put first things first. God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. At the root of worry is that divided mind. And Jesus is saying we need to not be divided, but we need to be focused on the most important thing, that is seeking God and his righteousness. And when we put first things first, we have that as our primary focus. God has promised he'll take care of the rest. All these things, the necessities of life shall be added to you. Doesn't mean we don't have to go to work, but it means that we go to work, but we don't worry. We're not anxious. We trust that God will provide. And so we rebuild our system of priorities with God at the very center. And the promise is that we'll be sheltered from the storms of worry and stress. We need that system of priorities and seek God first, put him first. We also need this strategic program. And this is so fundamentally important. Notice Jesus' words again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We go by the paraphrase so often, we need to live one day at a time. That's how we live life. That's how we go through difficult times. We live one day at a time. You won't sink under the burden of today's crises, but when you add tomorrow's agenda, that's when we sink. We need to live one day at a time. Listen to this passage, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. God tells Israel, as your days, so shall your strength be. What's the promise? I will give you strength for the day. We can count on that promise as well, that every day that we live, God will give us the strength to endure. He'll sustain us. And so we need to leave tomorrow alone. When tomorrow comes, God will give us the grace and the strength that we need for tomorrow. But let's focus on today. One writer suggests your calendar gives each day its own number. Live them in that order, just as God arranged them. Stay in one square at a time. Live one day at a time. We don't ignore the future. We plan and prepare for it. But the difference is we're not anxious about it. because we're putting our trust in God. After all, don't you agree with Mark Twain when he said, "I'm an old man and I've known many, great many troubles, but most of them never happen." Most of the things that we worry about never happen. Let's prepare, let's plan for the future, but trust God the whole time. Jesus says we should handle the demands of each day as it comes without worrying about the unknown future and the things which may never happen. Let's go back to the YMCA and George McCausland. He's the one that's worried about how business is going. He's working, overworking. He's feeling extremely stressed out. He knew that he had to do something. He knew that his worry, his anxiety, was a problem to his emotional health. So what did he do? He scheduled an afternoon off from work. And with the hours he was putting in, this took a great deal of determination. And he went to the western Pennsylvania, where there was a lot of woods. And in his mind, that would be a place of peace and tranquility. And he got out of his vehicle and just took a long walk. And it was as if the burden began to get lighter already. And he sat beneath a tree and he pulled out his notebook and he breathed a long sigh. This was the first time in months he'd felt anything close to relaxed. He evaluated his life and his relationship with God and realized he was not as close as he should be. And so he decided to write God a letter. "Dear God," he began, "today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." Yes, George McCausland is the one who wrote that letter. Perhaps we need to write that letter. Perhaps we're worried and troubled about many things because we're trying to handle them all by ourselves. God says we're not big enough to handle them. We need to let Him take care of our worries. If you need to resign from being general manager of the universe, if you need to acknowledge this morning that God is the supreme ruler, and that you've decided to let God take care of your worries, let's make that commitment today. It may be that we recognize, as George McCausland did, our relationship with God is not what it should be. And it may be because we've never obeyed the gospel. We've never become a child of God. And perhaps there's one or more that needs to obey the gospel this morning. Confessing your faith in Jesus, turning from sin, and ready to be baptized into Christ so His blood can wash away your sins, so you can be added to God's family and know God as your heavenly Father. Perhaps others of us, and I know of many among our number, that are battling some very difficult things. And it's so easy to worry when the battle is difficult. And perhaps you need the prayers of the church for strength and for help to face those struggles without worry. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?